In every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, and timeless Western style. Whether you're looking to elevate a casual look or add a refined flair that'll draw both eyes and compliments, Tecovas boots will do the trick. The best way to shop for boots is at your local Tecovas store, where you'll be greeted by the smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Come on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. And if you're planning to hit the road, Tecovas' ever-growing lineup of rugged and full-grain leather bags will get you where you're headed in style and are built to last decades. Visit Tecovas.com, that's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and don't go gently, y'all. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs, look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. Today, plausibly live, it's the Zabecast.
No. We'll do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
Today's guest, sports radio lifer and DC Jewish Sports Hall of Famer, Andy Pollin.
See?
And now, let's get to yakking.
Here we go.
It is the Easy Like Sunday Morning Podcast. Andy is with me today, my 16-plus year radio partner on Afternoon Drive on the Team 980 from, I think, circa 2001 to 2017. He'd know the years. The golden age of sports talk radio in D.C. Shame what has happened to the industry since, but hey, you're here today and you're getting a nice little slice of it. Andy joins us from a different zip code today than the one for Rockville, Maryland, the sister city to Pinneberg, Germany. And we'll find out where exactly that is at the end of the podcast. How's that for a tease, Andy? Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. And look, I'm happy to be back up in the rotation. I mean, I used to be the opening day starter. You moved me down, and now I'm back to the opening week. That's good.
So, you know what? I think that the fans have demanded it on Mondays.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, because
so,
I thought maybe my fastball had slipped, and you know, he didn't have the same stuff, and had to place him down in
no,
the rotation.
No, not only do you always have stuff to talk about with me, but you're always happily available on a Sunday morning, and that's a great thing. And I try not to abuse that availability. That's why we go a nice tight 30 minutes. We're here for a good time, not a long time. Some podcast hosts invite you on as a guest and won't let you hang up.
Oh, yeah. And I don't know how the consumer really does that. I mean, do you really, as a listener, invest 2 hours and two guys just BSing? I don't know.
If it's something you really like and a deep dive and you've got the time, fine. Yeah. I listened to a Lex Fridman podcast yesterday from the Amazon rainforest talking about apex predators, aliens, and, you know, the different kinds of caiman alligators that are in the Amazon. And the only reason I listened to it for over an hour and a half, I was on my mower, Andy, and I had the time.
Yeah, but there's other buttons to push, right? Couldn't you listen to something else?
I could, but when you're mowing, you don't want to stop and take your gloves off and fiddle with your phone and pull it out of your pocket. So you usually, at least I do, I commit to one thing at a time. Anyway, here's our rundown today. Hard Knocks for Caitlin. The Kyrie Irving finals. Caleb is ready for his close-up. He'll play what we tell him to play. They'll play when we tell him to play. Smelt Knight now in the record books. It's a baseball miracle. Put it on the Underhill's account. There will be lawyers, and meet the Mets. Greet the Mets. We start with Hard Knocks for Caitlin. Wow, Andy. This story has come at a really perfect time to be a tempest in a teacup viral sensation. Chicago Sky's Chenity Carter out of nowhere calls Caitlin Clark a bitch and then body slams her in the middle of a game. And the takes are fast and furious.
I don't get this. I did watch the end of that game yesterday. I missed the bump, but I've seen it on Twitter. And these women need to understand something. Ladies, the reason that you're flying on a private jet is because of this woman. You were flying commercial before she got there. She's the golden goose. Don't kill it.
I think they not only understand it, they understand it too well. And that's part of what is fueling this. I've had people say to me, privately, publicly, Zabe, women hate women more than anyone else. The jealousy that goes on and the backstabbing, and they'll be all nice to their face. Oh, you're so sweet. You look great. You bitch. There's clearly this sense of why now? Why now is everyone watching us just because of this skinny little white girl from Iowa? There is a resentment there, even though they are flying commercial. Although, did you see the one Phoenix Mercury player is like, well, it's a small commercial flight.
It's a small private flight.
Right, private. They're not flying commercial. Yeah, it's a small charter. It's a charter, but it's kind of small.
Yeah. I mean, in hockey, they understood this years ago. Don't touch Gretzky. He makes us all rich.
Right.
In this case, they may not get rich off of her, but things are going to get a lot better if she becomes a big star. Now, right. I don't know if she will. I mean, it's pretty obvious that the level of competition that she's facing now versus what she faced in college is different. But don't go out of your way to hurt her. You know, just kind of let her be what she is. She may not turn out to be a star, but I don't know why you want to ruin this. This is a good thing for you.
Yeah. And then there's this angle. Where are her enforcers? Where are her teammates?
Right,
was Matt Barnes talking about this, saying, hey, I knew a thing or two about this back in the day.
So there's a hot topic going on right now. Caitlin Clark says she got cheap shotted against the Sky. I mean, throughout the season, she's been getting beat up. Hard screens, elbows, knocked down. It is what it is. She's not the first. She won't be the last. My issue and my question is, where the fuck are her teammates at? Where are y'all at? Where are the rest of the Indiana Fever at? I've seen a couple girls smirk when she's got knocked down, half-assed to pick her up. Like, y'all supposed to protect the asset, protect the star. And all this is the team. She's the star. You always protect your star. I was someone who protected the stars. You fuck with Kobe, CP, Blake, list goes on. It's going to be a problem because you guys are supposed to be a family. And you wonder why you sit at the bottom of the league right now is because y'all don't protect each other, man. Coach don't do shit about it. Players don't do shit about it. Y'all should be ashamed of it. But the rest of the league is going to continue to test her. And that's what they're supposed to do. It's your guys' fucking job to have her back and have each other's back.
Right.
Got to do better, ladies.
All right. So there you go. Your thoughts on Matt Barnes' angle there.
He's 100% right. And in the many tributes to Bill Walton, you may have seen how he talked about Maurice Lucas as his greatest teammate when they were at the Portland Trailblazers.
Right.
And it was his job to protect Walton. And this is back in the day before they started suspending guys for fights. But if you go to YouTube, you see him squaring off against Daryl Dawkins, who was about, 40 pounds heavier,
and
3 inches taller, and he would have taken him out if he needed to. So, yeah, there needs to be enforcers for her. If this is the way these ladies are going to play, okay, if these are the rules of the game, then okay, we're gonna have our rules here too. Yeah.
Meanwhile, the coach of the Indiana Fever, they did win the game, oh, by the way, so they're 2-8 now, still last place in the dub. Christy Sides was still afraid to really speak her mind. Here she was.
I'm trying not to get fined. We're just gonna keep sending these possessions to the league and these plays, and hopefully they'll start, taking a better look at some of the things that we see happening or we think is happening. just more happy that Caitlin handled it the way she did. She, you know, it's tough, you know, to keep getting hammered the way she does and to not get rewarded with free throws or, you know, just a foul call. Like she's continuing to fight through that. And that's what, you know, appreciate that from her. Really, really proud of her for doing that.
All right. First of all, extreme coach's voice there. Poor Christy Sides. Come on. Go easy. You know, Marty Schottenheimer lost his voice. Remember that? He had that whole episode where he lost. Or no. Sam Weish, not Marty.
Sam Weish,
like, needed like a vocal cord transfusion or something crazy because he had that coach's voice going on. But Ed Werder, formerly of ESPN, tweeted out something good. He said, well, given the lack of effectiveness that approach seems to be producing of we're going to send it into the league, maybe you want to handle it internally or more directly if you want to put a stop to it.
Yeah. Now, Dawn Staley makes too much money coaching women's college basketball. But if things were different at the pro level, you get her or somebody like her, and she wouldn't say something like that.
Right.
She would say, we're not going to stand for that. And if that's the rules they want to play, fine. We'll play those rules, and we will beat them that way.
And then you have ESPN maybe running cover for it. Here was the highlight package that ran on the 5 o'clock SportsCenter on Saturday, in which I believe it was she also called the game, I think, for the game itself on ESPN. Forgetting her name, but she pretty much did a wink and a nod, like, yeah, we're not going to show this.
Now Fever down to Caitlin Clark driving. Nice little finish. Fever up to at the half. Forget about the third. Doesn't matter. Didn't happen. In the fourth.
Forget about the third. Doesn't matter. Didn't happen. This is not Nicole Briscoe. This is, I'm trying to think of her name. There's another reference in here.
Carter steals it, gets the layup. Sky down three. Next Sky possession, it is Cardoso with 11 points in this game, and the game is just a one-point game. Aaliyah Boston, guarded by Cardoso, gets the ball, block, turns that around, and one. Guess what? The Fever win at home for the first time this season.
All right, so there it was right there. There's a whole media angle to this as well, in which ESPN doesn't want to seem to show to be a favorite of anybody, but they can't just ignore these huge things that happen out there.
Well, and again, I think that they have to realize the only reason people are watching these games is because of her. You know, what would the ratings be if she wasn't playing?
That's a good question. I don't know. And have you seen any actual numbers so far?
Yeah. Not from the WNBA, but you know, when you get those kind of when you're beating the men in the final game by
that was what, college.
Understand, but there is that transfer, and look how quickly the season follows. It's not like, you know, the following NBA season. It's a short turnaround.
Two-part exit question. One, will Chenity Carter be suspended? Yes or no?
No.
Okay. And secondly, is this, at the end of the day, still good for the WNBA?
It's good. And
yes.
It's the lead story. Yeah,
ding. It's still good at the end of the day. People saying this is going to turn people off of women's pro basketball.
No, it's
going to be good. All right, cut to the Kyrie Irving finals. I'm looking forward to all the revisionist history and all the stories coming out about what happened to Kyrie in Boston and even what happened to Kyrie in Cleveland. I had to refresh my memory on this, but I remember when he decided he wanted to leave after the NBA Finals, and it was a bit shocking, and now there's people like Chris Broussard saying, look, Kyrie got wind that LeBron wanted to trade Kyrie, and that's when he said, fuck you, I'm going to leave on my own.
Yep,
It is a fascinating sort of revisionist. I mean, this is going to be a wild finals. There's no league that's better in terms of high school lunchroom drama than the NBA.
Well, agreed? because the commissioner turned the league over to the players. Go make your own teams. Yeah. Oh, LeBron wants to play there. That's fine.
Right.
This is Adam Silver's league. And look, Adam Silver's job is to increase revenue. And revenue has gone way up since he became commissioner. Some of it may have been circumstantial because of television, but whatever he's doing is creating interest in the league and creating big television dollars. So Gagazin.
Yeah, one Twitter person said, D-Wade told us the plan was always to put on Kobe's jersey and front run with another super team for LeBron. He ultimately cost the Cavs Kyrie when Kyrie wasn't stupid enough to not know that LeBron was angling to move him. He said, fuck you, left for the Celtics. Then LeJudas ended up with Kevin Love as his only star help in 2018. Got his cap twisted again by KD and Steph and the Warriors for the second straight year. Faked a hand injury and ran to L.A. like the quitter he's been his entire career.
Right. But let's not make Kyrie into an innocent victim.
No, I cannot root for Kyrie in any way, shape, or form. And I cannot excuse all the shit that went down in Boston with the double-fingered birds behind the helmet, behind his head when he was pretending to stretch and everything else. He's a bad guy still. He's great at basketball, give him that, but bad guy.
Yeah, and he can turn on this, smile and charm, and I'm the second fiddle to and all that stuff. But he eventually will show his stripes. Right. And if he doesn't win this series, there will be problems. There's not going to be harmony next year in Dallas.
Boston is the heavy favorite, -220. I got the Mavs on a flyer. I think it's going to be hard to stop. But Luka and Kyrie at this point. But I'm looking forward to the finals. Should be fun when it finally starts. On Thursday.
Yeah. Man, we also get Porzingis back, I think. And that could be a big, big wild card for Boston. Yeah. So.
All right, cut three. Caleb is ready for his close-up. The Bears have been tabbed for Hard Knocks on HBO. This is about as good as the league could have chosen, right?
I think so. But in my opinion, Hard Knocks has kind of jumped the shark.
Really?
Yeah.
And yet they keep adding new versions like Hard Knocks Offseason, where they followed the Giants when they were just sitting around their computers working on their salary cap.
Well, that's because you attach anything to the NFL, people are going to watch it.
Right.
I've watched almost every season, almost every episode of Hard Knocks. And there's just a lot of video from the field, guys jawing at each other during drills and things like that. I've seen it, and they're, what are you getting out of it now? It used to be, we're going to watch them cut somebody. Well, now it's always the same. They hug it out, they take their trash bag, they get in their SUV and they drive away.
As a sports fan, you realize you're spending this time watching guys practice football and it's hyped up into being dramatic. But in the end of the day, it doesn't matter. This is not significant stuff that's happening. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I thought the quarterback series on Netflix last year was a lot
way better. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Much better.
Yeah, but the fact they've added they start with Hard Knocks and they say, well, we'll only do it if a team wants to do it. They quickly change that to, well, you have to make the playoffs, or if you've got a new head coach, we'll give you a break and we won't choose you. And now it's just like, well, we could choose anyone we want. And they've added Hard Knocks in season, and this Hard Knocks off season is like Hard Knocks pistachio chip ice cream. Nobody asked for this. But hey. All the flavors are giving us all the flavors. Cut four. He'll play what we tell him to play. The Bills have they've signed a wrestler by the name of Gable Stevenson. That's right. He's an Olympic gold medal wrestler, one of the most dominant college wrestlers in history. And I have no idea if he can play football, but I guess the Bills have an idea. Maybe.
I guess the only transition I've seen this really successful with is basketball players to tight ends. Can you think of any other place where they take a player or athlete from another sport to try and put them in? It doesn't really seem to work too well.
Right. I think this trend was started by the Eagles with Jordan Mailata, who is an Aussie Rules football player, and he's part of that, the tush push O-line formation. And so maybe there's a thought of, hey, this wrestler, he's 6'1", 275. This guy, Gable Stevenson, he's a fire hydrant of a guy, huge. Maybe we'll figure out something that he can do for us. I don't know. Doesn't cost anything, right?
Right, but it's almost like taking a 7-foot guy who's never picked up a basketball before and say, oh, we're going to put him in the NBA. Well, maybe, but there's a lot of learning that has to go on before you do that.
Right. And that brings us to the, well, he'll play what we tell him to play, into they'll play when we tell them to play. Coco Gauff says at the Paris Open in tennis that these 3 a.m. local time finishes for matches are not healthy for players, and says the tournament organizers need to start with a mandatory cutoff point for when night matches start. Djokovic had his third round match finish at 3:07 a.m. local time after starting at 10:37 p.m. the previous night. The five-setter lasted 4 hours and 29 minutes. Does Coco Gauff have a point?
Well, I mean, is how much is television financing it, and how important is it for television to start these matches that late?
But at the end of the day, though, shouldn't there be at least some limits? I mean, this is kind of nuts. There's also going to be a Rutgers football game that on the East Coast doesn't tip till 11 p.m. this fall.
I know. Well, and I also wonder about the fans. I mean, I certainly wouldn't attend an event like that, but, you know.
Right.
So
you're going to be up till 3 a.m. Holy shit. Would you rather play at 6 a.m. or at 3 a.m.?
Oh, well, you know me. I 4:30 in the morning is much better for me than 4:30 in the afternoon. That's the way I'm wired.
I know. Reminds me of the great line in The Simpsons where a rich Texan buys the isotopes and they're a baseball team and he's going to have them play football. And the secretary's like, but aren't they a baseball team? And he said, they'll play what I tell them to play. That's the way things go. Okay, halftime. Time to make this venture economically viable. You can enjoy this wonderful audio product ad-free by becoming a premium member. Just go to zabe.com/subscribe, and you'll get the Fox Sports OG crew of Scott and Solly on Fridays as well. You are listening to the Zabecast. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. All right, we're back with Andy. Cut six. Smelt Knight now in the record books. They've merged the old Negro League baseball records with the official Major League Baseball record book. Do you think this is a good idea? You now have a new all-time batting average champ, Josh Gibson. Of the Homestead Grays with a crisp 372 lifetime average.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. The one of the things when I first heard about it is I went, he had reportedly or legendarily over 800 home runs. They said, a lot of those were in barnstorming games. So there was a lot of research that went into this. This guy, John Thorne, if you remember the baseball series that was done 25 years ago on PBS. He's all through that, and he's dedicated his life. So he talked about all the research that went into it. They had to find a box score for all the numbers. So wow. I'm okay with it. And I also look at the players who became the big stars of baseball once integration finally happened. Most of them were African-American, you know, from Henry Aaron to Willie Mays, who may be the best player ever lived, you know, Ernie Banks. They're all, you know, so to think that these guys would not have been successful and stars in the majors is ridiculous. So I have no problem honoring the numbers. If we got to over 800 for Josh Gibson, I think that would have been a ticklish situation. But I don't think anybody sits around saying, hey, did you know Ty Cobb had the highest lifetime batting average? No, there's only like a couple of numbers that matter. One is home runs, and maybe the other would be Cy Young with 510 wins. You know, there's only a handful of them that really people care about.
Yeah, I think there is a dubiousness to the accuracy of all of it. And I think there is a legit argument to say you can't just smash two separate leagues together and pretend like the numbers matter. But I have never worshipped the baseball record book like some nerds do, because I think you've heard me say this before when we were on the air. I said, you do know they didn't let blacks play for a long time, and they were really good. Like anyone who takes these old pre-Jackie Robinson numbers seriously probably needs to get a fucking life.
Well, yeah, and look at the talent base. When Ted Williams hit 406, they were all white. Plus, we didn't have Dominicans. We didn't have Mexicans. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, the talent pool was much smaller.
Yeah, look at the international talent now with Japanese players and Korean players and everything else. Right. Now, I went immediately looking. This is why I labeled this cut Smelt Night. I went looking for the classic Billy Crystal SNL bit on the old Negro Leagues. Yeah.
Yes, I remember that.
Do you remember that? Where one of the big jokes was on smelt night, they would cook smelt, a very cheap, you know, commoner's fish that could be caught cheaply and easily. They would cook smelt on open barrels out in the center field bleachers, and it smelled so good that the pitcher for the team would just throw fastballs because he wanted the game over quickly so he could then go eat the smelt. It was like, oh, this smelt night. And they had these exaggerated stories where one player by the name of Rooster, nicknamed a Rooster, he once got hit in the head with his own line drive sliding into second base. So I went looking for it. Right? I went looking for it on YouTube. I believe because it's deemed politically incorrect, it's been scrubbed from the internet.
Maybe. Yeah, so, but that was funny.
I even think that Billy Crystal was in blackface, which also now is a you cannot do that kind of a thing. Yeah. But if anyone knows where I could find it, I know the exact episode, and I would just love to hear it and watch it again because it was funny, and I don't think it was racist, but, you know, times change, so there you go. Smelt Night now in the record books. Cut 7, it's a baseball miracle. How would you like to be a baseball team for your college playing knowing that the school you play for has gone bankrupt and is closed? Birmingham Southern is that team. They're still alive in the Division III World Series, even though the school closed its doors for the last time due to financial hardships last week.
Yeah. Who was the Seahawks quarterback who came after Zorn? I'm blanking on the name, but he played a long time. He was from Milton College. And Milton College had gone out of business when he was in the NFL.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of
Dave
his name. Dave Craig, that's it. Yes.
Yeah.
He was the one who succeeded Zorn in Seattle. He played probably about 15 years in the NFL, maybe for a couple of other teams. But yeah, when they would, you know, flash up where you went to school, he went to Milton College, which no longer exists. This is Division III. And, you know, it's a nice story. If they go all the way, I mean, it's not like, I mean, I guess there couldn't be a parade at the school next year.
No, I don't know what's going to happen there. I'm not sure which I like more, teams that win for schools that are now closed or teams that play for schools that don't even exist.
Yeah.
Like Bishop Sycamore, which was a fake school.
Well, that was a fake from the beginning.
I know.
The school actually existed.
I know. Cut 8, put it on the Underhills account. 39 years ago this weekend, the great movie Fletch came out in theaters, which led to this iconic scene.
I imagine you're expecting a nice gratuity, right? Maybe next time.
He's at the club, ogling this widow.
I'll be back. He went out for his ear analysis.
Would you like some drinks, senor, while you wait? I will put it on the underhill's bill.
Yes, very good. I'll have a Bloody Mary and a steak sandwich and a steak sandwich, please.
Very good.
Put it on the Underhill's account. Is Fletch, Andy, one of the all-time iconic, put it in a pantheon, you got to see it at least once movies?
Yes, I think it's a cultish movie. And I also think that Chevy Chase had one of the biggest career drop-offs since Robert Griffin III. I don't think anybody fell to earth harder than Chevy Chase, who, you know, when I was in high school, started with Saturday Night Live and was one of the first early stars that led to some movies. But then he started doing things like talk shows where he was a complete disaster. And has he done anything good in the last 20 years that you can think of?
Nothing. He's obviously had a lot of health issues. He's turned into a raging asshole, too. And so I think he couldn't shake the fact that he had fallen into a typecast that he thought he was better than. So it wasn't enough to do the vacation movies and Three Amigos and all these other kind of things. Funny Farm was another movie. I'm just looking at his quick list of movies here. You need to lean into what you're doing and just get over it. If it pays well and people like you, you've won. But I'm a serious actor. Well, it doesn't matter. Go with what you can make money and be a star in.
Sylvester Stallone tried that too and had enough sense to say, yeah, comedy's really not for me.
Yeah. How about Bill Murray and Razor's Edge? The one movie where he tried to play it straight and serious and people were like, go back to being funny.
You're Bill Murray. You have a persona. Play that.
All right. Cut 9. There will be lawyers. This is the great Andrew Brandt line. There will be lawyers and they will make their money no matter what. Diamond Sports, which of course is bankrupt and they're trying to get out of the whole sports business with their regional baseball contracts and whatnot. They have been billed, according to Daniel Kaplan of Sports Business Journal, $150 million by bankruptcy attorneys, consultants, and other experts since filing Chapter 11. $150 million for pushing paper, filing, legal documents. Oh, my God, Andy.
Yeah, well, it's like the people who used to make fax machines. They thought that this was going to be it for a long time. And technology changed, and those regional cables, they're dead. They're dead almost. But is there anyone that's successful now?
I mean, the Yankees, obviously, with the YES Network. But, I mean, the point is, with lawyers, like, how can they get away with charging that much money?
Well, they do. They tell you what their hourlies are, and then they don't.
Then they rack up the hours. Every little thing they do gets billed every quarter hour. Send a fax, $200. Send an email. $500.
The parents of my granddaughter deal in this business.
So no, that's right. I'm sorry. Your daughter is an attorney, so you don't want to go there. Okay, fine. All right. Now you get to find out where Andy Pollin is right now. Meet the Mets. Greet the Mets. Where were you yesterday?
Oh, I was at Citi Field with my son Jeremy sitting in great seats down the third base line. And I planned this weekend a while ago. My son and his fiance, they're going to be moving to Seattle late next month. And so this is one of the last opportunities to come up and visit him for a weekend. So saw the schedule, and I saw that it was 4 o'clock game, which suits me much better than a 7:30 game. And so I didn't even know it was Darryl Strawberry number retirement day. Ooh. We got there early. We saw the whole ceremony. He went a little long, I would say.
Okay.
But there were some. One of the things we were interested in is, you know, his son DJ Strawberry played basketball at Maryland.
I remember that.
And there was some tension there. Like, Darryl showed up at some early games and it was pretty clear that he wasn't welcome there. And DJ went on to have a good career there. He played briefly in the NBA and I think played in Europe. and wondered if there was still bad blood. But no, he was there, and I think he has one brother, maybe three or four sisters, or two or three sisters, so quite a few kids, and ex-teammates like Mookie Wilson was there. Doc Gooden showed up.
So you really you really hooked into a great game to go to, because otherwise the Mets season is once again a slow boat to nowhere. Yeah, the game was bad, but I mean, you were there for a great moment because these were the iconic Mets of the 80s.
But also, you look at that, especially with Gooden and Strawberry, and it's the great what if, because they were on their way to being surefire Hall of Fame players, and the drugs derailed both their careers. Right. Even with that, they still managed to carve out some amazing things. I mean, Gooden went on to throw a no-hitter with the Yankees. Strawberry won, I think, at least one, maybe two World Series with the Yankees as well. I mean, they kept coming back, but had they stayed on track and stayed with the Mets, that had the potential to be a dynasty, but on the backs of those two guys. And the cocaine was what really caused that to fall apart.
Is Jeremy a Mets fan?
No, he actually lives closer. We on the Upper West Side, so he goes to more Yankee games. That's easier to get to.
So he's a Yankee fan.
No, he stayed with the Cubs. I told you when he
was
growing
right.
up.
He's still a Cub fan. Got it.
We didn't have baseball, so he got WGN in the afternoon. He cried when Harry Carey died. The whole thing. So he's remained loyal to the Cubs and was finally rewarded when they won their World Series. 2016.
So when he moves to Seattle with his beautiful bride, the dentist. Mm-hmm. Is he going to become a Mariners fan?
That's a good question. He also said the other night that he thinks that when they get an NBA team, he will adopt them as NBA squad.
They may never get one back. They're hurting up there because they love the Sonics so much.
Yeah, but they would like to get a team to replace them.
Well, I know, but they've been waiting for a long time. I would hate for your son to wait his whole life for a team to return and they never get one.
Well, yeah, but they've been trying for a while. The hockey team is, you know, doing well there. So
I say your son is entitled to have a second, especially since they're an AL team. He's allowed to have a second team in baseball, the Mariners.
Okay, yeah, I'll tell him that he's got
my blessing on that. Just not that he seeks it or needs it, but I know he does listen to you on my podcast occasionally. So Jeremy,
quite a bit.
Get on it, man. Be a Mariner fan. It's okay.
He also told me on one podcast you said that games are too short. The man invented the Yale theory.
I know, right? Well, see, because when the games are so quick in baseball, like an hour and 45 minutes, you literally can't ale that game.
Oh, I see. It's ale-proof. Gotcha.
Yeah. When games are too short, they're cutting into my business.
I understand.
I'm the one who cuts the game short, Andy. You don't do that. All right. What are you doing today up there?
Well, we're going to have brunch, and then I've got a bus at 1:30 back to D.C.
A bus.
Okay. Now you're going to look down your nose at me for a bus. It's a nice bus.
Was your car broken?
No, but it's much easier. You don't have to go through traffic and tunnels. And the bus drops you off in Bethesda. I mean, it's...
I love it. Andy, never change. Never change. Thank you.
Public transportation, highly underrated, Zabe. Highly underrated.
All right, buddy. Good to talk to you. All right, we'll talk to you next week. See ya.
All right, Zabe. Take care. I'm not happy when I try to fake it. No. Ooh, that's why I'm easy.
Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs, look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up.